Thank you for tuning in to the JBV Radio Show. We welcome you to our special guest audio series. So grab your pen.
Your pen.
Everything you need. We pray that you hear a word from the Lord that will
change
your life. Today, our guest audio teacher is Apostle Corey Thompson.
Amen. Would you do that? Praise God. Praise God. If you've been with us for any length of time, you know we've been in this series entitled The Capacity for Favor. Listen, I'm going to take us back to another portion of that, and we're going to see exactly what it is that the Spirit of Grace will say to us on tonight. The capacity for favor, because I'm a firm believer that we are in a season, of not only just favor, but divine favor, the favor of God. I believe that it is doubled in this season. And so I want to encourage you out of the word of the Lord to see how impactful your worship unto God is and how there is a correlation between your worship unto God and supernatural favor. I want you to see this as we've been laying the groundwork for this. I want you to see this out of the word of the Lord. Just a quick recap. We understood that how when God formed man from the dust of the earth, he breathed into him the breath of life, or the ruach of God, making him a living soul. We also since that time have saw in scripture how Adam would commune with God in the cool of the day. In that great exchange between God the Father and Adam, or mankind, was a worshiping experience. Involved in that worshiping experience is the word called proskuneo, which literally means to bow, or it is the kiss, literally the worship or the act of worship to the face of God in the bowing, but then the kiss of God or the kiss toward God in worship. In other words, it's simply another form of reverence, how a man is to revere God in his life. I'm a firm believer that the greatest deficit that man will have in the earth, and I'm going to say it with all conviction, I'll say it with power tonight, that man's greatest deficit on the face of the earth is his unwillingness to agree with God. If you're taking notes, that's a good place to start. I'm going to say it again. That man's greatest deficit on the earth is his unwillingness to agree with God. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this kairos. We thank you for this opportunity that you have purposed under heaven. I ask you now, God, for every person viewing this, whether it be in real time or in replay, I'm asking God that you would absolutely, unequivocally wreck our ignorance. And I pray tonight that you would grant unto us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the word of the Lord, that you, God, have assured us out of your word that it is your word that you hasten to perform. So with great expectation, God, we wait patiently on the manifestation of what you have purposed for our lives in this season. And I thank you now that in the midst of it all, God, there is a turning for the favor of God. There's a turning for the children of God. There is a turning. This is the midst of a turn. You're viewing this, but you're in the midst of a turn. What are you talking about, Dr. Tom? I'm talking about God is turning some things in your favor. And we celebrate the very thing that God is doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, I want to invite you into the book of John chapter number 4, beginning with verse number. Let's look in John verse number 23 and 24. John 4. 23 and 24. I want to summon your senses and invite your intellect into the book recording, or according to John chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 23, concluding in verse number 24, two verses. I want to raise to our hearing tonight the word of the Lord for the people of God. It says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then we all understand this familiar passage here, which says in verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I pray you brought your listening ears tonight because we're going to walk through some things tonight. And I want to give you five reasons as to how important worship is in the life of the believer. I want you to understand how critical it is for we who understand the importance of having a relationship with God. I want you to understand how vitally important it is that your worship and how much of a worship plays a key part in your relationship and how it is correlated to supernatural favor. I want to give you at least five reasons as it relates to the importance of worship in the life of the believer, because whether you realize it or not, the enemy of your soul, the enemy of your worship, is after your worship. He's desiring to be worshiped. We see this even in his approach to Jesus in the gospel, in the synoptic gospel. We see the fact that even Satan approached Jesus in the attempt to tempt him to bow and worship him. And so we all understand the response that Jesus gave to the adversary is that it is also written. So please understand the importance of not only your relationship with God, but your relationship with the Word. I'm going to say it again. Now, it's not just based upon your relationship with God, but it's based upon also your relationship with the Word. I do mean that twofold: the Word in person, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, and then your Bible. It's important that you understand the how important the necessity it is for you to know your Word in times of challenging opposition, in times of critical moments. In science, there is, in physics, there is a term entitled critical mass, where it comes to a point in time that from one a millisecond to the next, something critical can take place. And I want to tell you how close you are to bursting at the seams with breakthrough, or bursting out into a place, a large place, or bursting into a time in a season of favor where the supernatural favor of God precedes you in your day. Well, I got good gospel news for you tonight to remind you that this is the season that we are in. This is the season that is upon us. And so I want to share with you how critical and how important it is that your worship takes place, and not just for the sake of gaining something from God, but it has everything to do with why you are breathing, why you are sucking air, inhaling and exhaling, why it is that God has left you in the earth for such a time as this. I pray you're hearing me tonight, but I want to share with you good God blessings to all of you in your respectful places. It is an absolute joy to have you with us on tonight. We're going somewhere, and I pray that you're willing to go along with us tonight. Would you just understand that we are going to a place in God that we've never been before, and I need you to bring your expectation. I need you to come on this live stream full of faith tonight, because I'm going to show you in the Word of God how your worship unto God, hallelujah, changes the posture of what is opposing you. I'm gonna say it again. I'm gonna show you out of the Word of the Lord. We saw in Genesis, the book of beginnings, how it is that when Adam was present for God's presence in the cool of the day, they lacked nothing. We don't read in scripture where Adam had a deficit, or where when I say Adam, I do mean Adam and Eve, or Adam, or mankind was not at a deficit because he was in agreement with God. Please understand what I'm telling you. He understood that the importance of meeting or communing with God in the cool of the day was necessary. It was an exchange. I told you before, it was an exchange between God the Creator and Adam, or mankind. And in that exchange was this form of worship, where there was Adam bringing his heart to the place, or the gathering place, or the, watch this, or the
the set place for this exchange, for this communion with God. God met him in the cool of the day. We read that inscription in the cool of the day when they met. We do not read that Adam had a deficit. We do not read that Adam lacked anything. We do not read where it is that they were in want of something. As a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear in God's instruction to mankind or to Adam that of every tree in the garden thou must freely eat except the one that is in the midst. So it is that God he set up boundaries for Adam and for Eve so that it was in fact that they could have free reign to any and everything else. Just don't touch the tree that's in the midst of the garden. And so it is that when he failed to be present for God's presence, in other words, he missed the set time of worship. Therefore, he could not do or execute the responsibility of rulership or dominion in the earth. You do recall that God blessed Adam and blessed Eve, told them to be fruitful and multiply. And the Bible says he gave them dominion in the earth, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. God gave them dominion. What is dominion? It is the legal right to rule or to bring execution to the will of God in this earth. And so because we understand that God is illegal in the earth outside of a body, it is that of a body that he needs in order to be legal in the earth. Did you hear what I just said? I said God himself is illegal in the earth. He must have a body to be legal in the earth. So then he chooses you. He chooses me. He chooses us to begin to bring execution or the furthering or the advancement of his will or the advancement of the kingdom of God. And so what is the kingdom of God? I'm glad you're asking, because in Isaiah 9, we see Jesus coming to the earth because he is coming, the Bible says, with the government of God on his shoulder. What is the government of God? The government of God and the kingdom of God are interchangeably of the likes of which are the same. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So it is that Jesus comes to establish now what has been lost in the garden. Not only was the relationship between mankind and God lost, but it is man's right to rule in the earth. That too was lost. In other words, God had kingdom on his mind before he created the garden and put Adam in it. Did you hear what I said? I said God had kingdom on his mind before he created the garden and put Adam in it. Adam was placed in the garden. And so God created an environment, then put the man in the environment that he created so that man can flourish in God's environment, or the environment that God purpose for him to flourish in. And so it is that he would receive instruction, or he would receive, hallelujah, of the Lord in the cool of the day in the exchange when he would worship. Please hear this. God, he and Eve had what is known as complete soteria. What does that word soteria mean? It means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. If you're taking good notes right now, I need you to type that in the comments section, that I have complete soteria in my life. In other words, there's nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. How can you be assured that you have complete soteria? It's because you understand how important worship unto God is. I pray you're listening real good to me tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Nobody's upset but the adversary. The adversary of the enemy of your worship, the enemy of your soul is completely upset with you. Did you hear what I said? I said the enemy of your worship, the enemy of your soul is completely upset with you. In other words, he cannot stand, watch this, talk of worship unto God. He cannot, please understand, he cannot tolerate the presence of God. Please understand where I'm going tonight, because there is something about your worship unto God that changes the posture or the position of your adversary. Oh God, I said there's something about your worship that changes the position of your adversary. I don't have long tonight, but I am going to hasten to this. Let me give you five reasons concerning worship. Worship, number one, it changes your focus. The first reason to use worship as a weapon is that it shifts your focus or your mindset. God help me. The first change in anything, number one, is a mindset. Before we see anything take the effect of change as it relates to humankind, it is that the mind must change before we see change in what it is that we're seeking change for. So the first reason to use worship as a weapon is that it shifts your focus. When we fix our eyes on the darkness and the struggles of this life, we then invest our energy into talking and or worrying about what it is that has been presented, much this, that they only seem to gain a stronger grip on our hearts. Did you hear what I'm saying? So then watch this now. It's not enough that you understand or you see the circumstances for which they are, but when you don't understand that, then you begin to talk or begin to speak in accordance to what it is that you see. And if you do not understand, please understand this, why it is existing, if you speak illy of it, then you permit that thing to live in your environment. Did you hear what I just said? Everything that God made, he called good. He creates an environment for man and places a man in it. And so it is that he did not, watch this now, he did not impute worry in the environment that he created for man. Did you hear what I just said? I said God did not impute worry for the environment he created for man. So then if worry is existing in an environment that God did not create for man, it is because man has given legal access or the legal right for worry to live in his life. So about this, you got to understand, we cannot give life to what is not, what's this, supposed to live in our environment. Can you just do me a huge favor? If you've had a bout with worry in the last 30 days, can you just begin to just evict worry out? Because worry is not of God. And so worship unto God helps change your focus. Did you get that? When we set our attention on worship, it reminds us of the who, capital H, who, God is in the midst, that God is in control, that our minds tell us that those things are stacking up against us. Our worship under God, watch this brings glory to God. And if God can be glorified in the midst of something challenging or opposing you, what do you think is going to happen? I can't hear anybody tonight. Can't see y'all in agreement. There ought to be more agreement displayed than what I'm seeing, because I'm telling you of a truth. I'm telling you that what do you think God does when he is glorified in the midst of something that's challenging in your life? When you can have the wherewithal to bring him glory despite opposition, despite what it is that's opposing you. When you understand this, then when God begins to fight on your behalf, you understand that he becomes greater than the sum of the adversary or the sum of the adversity or the sum of circumstance, challenges, or anything that's opposing his will concerning your life. And concerning your life, so that your mind begins to speak to you that physical and mental illness will consume and kill you. Worship will then speak and say that God heals and God promises to use all things for his glory. Oh God, are you hearing me tonight? The second thing that worship does is worship not only changes your mind, but number two, worship will change your perspective. I need you to say that in your atmosphere, that worship, your worship under God changes your perspective. It is the second reason to use worship as a weapon, because it trades your earthly perspective for a heavenly one. Did you hear me? I said it trades your earthly perspective for a heavenly one. You are in this realm, but you're able to legislate in another sphere. You're in this domain, but you're able to legislate in another in another sphere. It is understanding that your worship, listen, can shift your focus or shift your perspective of what calls into question why we are even here in the first place. Why is it that I'm faced with what I'm faced with? Why is it that I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with? Despite whatever that is, you have the ability given to you by God legally, just by mere understanding that the power of life and death lies in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What you speak to, you permit to live, or you permit to die. I want to ask you a question. What are you permitting to live in your environment that God didn't institute? What are you permitting to live in your environment that God didn't permit, or that God didn't impute, or that God didn't desire to be a part of your atmosphere? What are you speaking to that's causing something to live? Is it the adversity? Is it the challenge? Is it the problem? Because you have not spoken correctly to what's opposing God's will for your life and the season that you're in? Could that be possible as to why it seems as though you have been in a holding cell because of your own mouth? Is it possible that you are experiencing what it is that you're experiencing for the length of time that you're experiencing it? It's because your focus hasn't changed, therefore your mouth has not changed. But if you can ever understand that you cannot watch this afford to be at a deficit with God because you do not have, or watch this, or you are unwilling to agree with God. And so understand this. Please understand. Not only does worship change, oh God, not only does it change your focus, it changes your perspective. Worship changes your perspective. So then the third thing I want to leave with you tonight is the fact that worship unto God. Now, remember, we read the scripture. We read the scripture where it says, for the Father seeketh such that will worship him. Yeah, in spirit and, yes, Lord, in truth. We saw that, right? We saw that scripture. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship, hallelujah, the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father seeketh such to worship him. The third thing I want to leave you with tonight is that worship changes your circumstances. God help me. Wait a minute. Worship changes my focus. Worship changes my perspective. Worship unto God changes your circumstances. Who's hearing this tonight? Who is with me tonight? Who is with me? You know, it's alarming to me how certain individuals have can so easily turn off truth. I'm gonna let that resonate for a few moments. Not that we have to concern ourselves with what others are doing, but now if your environment, watch this, is conducive for miracles, signs, and wonders because you believe God. Now, what circumstance has the legal right or title deed, watch this, to alter? Please hear this. What God has established, watch this, concerning your life. I'm going to say it again. What circumstance or challenge has the legal right or the title deed to alter what God has instituted or purposed for your life? Okay, I don't believe for one minute that your loud and defiant singing is in vain. I don't believe for one minute, because the third reason to use worship as a weapon is that it transforms your circumstances. Are you hearing this? God's word and truth over the lives of the enemy is, I'm going to say it again. God's word and truth over the lies of the enemy. We understand. We saw Satan in the garden lying. Watch this. In order to deceive. In order to gain, watch this, ground in literally bringing a halt to the expression of worship unto God. I'm gonna say it again. He used a lie as a luring mechanism to lure them from God's presence. Please hear this. So watch this. I'm getting ready to share with you what the Spirit of Grace has been showing me. In essence, in order to effectively, please understand this, bring glory to God, one would use, please hear this, the mouth. The fruit of your lips that first resonates in the heart. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, or out of the heart flows the issues of life. Here it is now. The enemy of your worship attacked in the garden through the means of a lie. Watch this. The deceptive attempt to lure them from God's presence or having communion with God in the cool of the day. Please understand. He sets something in seed form that caused a stirring of an appetite that was not, watch this, imputed by God. However, understand, it was spoken into an atmosphere. Please hear this. And because they spoke back to it, I need you to hear this and see this. What they said back, it was in the reply, it was in the response that caused the lie to live. Hence, they believed in the lie, touched what was forbidden, ate what was forbidden, and lost their right to dominion. Please say this. So I told you that the third thing that worship unto God does is it changes your circumstances. What would it have looked like on that day had they not missed the set time of worship? What would it have looked like, God help me, if they were present for God's presence? We wouldn't be reading the fact that they were deceived. The fact that, listen, some of the circumstances that we encounter today would not be permitted to exist had they spoke correctly to opposition. And so I want to tell somebody tonight who's viewing me, don't allow, oh God, help me here, opposing circumstances to dictate how you're going to live. I need you to understand, when God has already spoken, already provided for, already made means by which you are to live and to live in victory and live a victorious life and live a healthy life, what are you speaking to? What are you permitting to live in your atmosphere? Where is your worship, and is God getting glory in the circumstance out of your life that's opposing his will concerning your life? Let that rest. The fourth thing that worship unto God does is it changes the position of your enemy. I'm going to say it again. Worship is your posture that changes the position of your enemy. God help me. Worship used as a weapon is that thing that drives Satan away. He can't handle an atmosphere of the cabal. He can't handle the weight of God's glory resting and settling in your atmosphere. He can't handle. Please understand. It reminds him of what he lost. It reminds him of what he walked away from. It reminds him of the position he no longer has. So it changes his position and drives him out. You hear what I said? Worship under God does that. That means when you worship God, you invite his presence into the room and your and into your circumstance or into your environment. And when God is present, Satan has no choice, oh God, but to flee.
Thank you for tuning in to the JBV Radio Show. For more information about us, tap or click shondocenter.org. That's www.shondocenter.org. If you'd like to reach out to us, leave a comment for prayer,
or just to let us know how we're doing,
email us at jbvpositiveradio@gmail.com. That's jbvpositiveradio@gmail.com. We thank you again so much for tuning in. And remember, love isn't love until you give it away. God bless you.